Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Not all of you may be aware that this past week, the city of Houston ordered five of its area pastors to turn over their communication with their congregation's members, including sermons and speeches about the city's mayor, the gay rights ordinance there, and gender equality issues. Opponents are saying the order violates the pastor's First Amendment rights, both to free speech and to the free exercise of religion. And one critic seemingly alluded to passages such as today's gospel reading when he said, "Caesar has no jurisdiction over the pulpit." Indeed, people often point to today's gospel reading and its parallel passages as if our Lord Jesus teaches in them the U.S. Constitution's separation of church and state. But Jesus does not give a precise theory of governmental authority when he says, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." What does Jesus give in the gospel reading? This morning we consider today's gospel reading under the theme, "The Things That Are God's." Today's gospel reading picks up St. Matthew's divinely inspired gospel account right where last week's gospel reading left off. Still on Tuesday of Holy Week, still in the temple courts, Jesus finished teaching the so-called parable of the royal wedding feast, and then the Pharisees went out and plotted how to entangle him in his words. They and King Herod's supporters joined forces, as it were, for the first of a series of confrontations between the Jewish leaders and Jesus. We'll hear the last of that series of confrontations in next week's gospel reading. Disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians flattered Jesus in order to try to catch him off guard in what was a crafty and potentially destructive trap. The trap centered on whether God approved of their paying a specific tax to Caesar, the ruler of the Romans who occupied their land. But Jesus, aware of their malice, rhetorically asked them why they were tempting him. He called them hypocrites, and he had them show him the coin for the tax, a coin minted by Caesar, with the likeness of Caesar, and an inscription about Caesar. And Jesus told them to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. What are the things that are God's? Well, in some broad sense, all things are God's. But in this case, Jesus seems to be speaking more narrowly of something a little more particular. The denarius had Caesar's likeness or image, and so was to go to him. People were created in God's image, and so are to go to him. The image of God set people apart from other creatures, and originally consisted of the right disposition of intellect and will. Knowledge of God, the will to do only God's will, and sensuous desires that were free from any ungodly inclination. But after the first man and woman's fall into sin, they lost that image of God, at least partially, if not completely, and those to whom they gave birth were in their image. But we nevertheless still are to be in God's image. And Jesus says to render ourselves to him. Part of rendering ourselves to him, as St. Paul writes to the Romans, is rendering taxes, revenue, respect and honor to others. Do you and I always render taxes, revenue, respect, and honor to the governing authorities as we should? Do we not often seek ways around rendering such things as taxes and revenue? Are not our thoughts, words, and deeds full of disrespect and dishonor to the authorities that have been instituted by God? To resist them is to resist God, who tells us to render to them the things that are theirs. Truly, even we believers at times fail to render what we owe the governing authorities, just as even we believers fail at times to render what we owe God. We sin in these and countless other ways, for by nature we are sinful and opposed to God. Jesus' call to render to God the things that are God's includes repentance and faith. Do we turn in sorrow from our sin and trust God to forgive our sin? When we repent and believe, then God forgives our sin. God forgives our sin of failing to render to the governing authorities the things that are theirs, and God forgives our sin of failing to render to Him the things that are His. When we repent and believe, then God forgives all our sin, whatever it might be, for Jesus' sake. Interestingly enough, the inscription on the denarius that the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians brought to Jesus said that Caesar was the Son of God and the greatest high priest. Their having that coin in the temple courts was arguably as idolatrous as they thought Jesus' claiming to be the Son of God and the greatest high priest was blasphemous. Yet they unwittingly spoke the truth about Jesus. He was true. He not only taught the way of God truthfully, but he also lived it. Jesus perfectly rendered to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Not when the Jewish leaders or others wanted, but when Jesus knew the time was right. He gave himself to death on the cross for you and for me. There on the cross, he gave God the things that are his. There on the cross, he was, as our hymn of the day put it, a tributary to death, paying our debts. To get to the cross, Jesus was falsely accused of forbidding paying taxes to Caesar, but he nevertheless submitted to the governing authorities, even as the Jewish leaders conspired with them to bring about Jesus' death and to try to prevent his resurrection. Their intent was evil, but God's intent was good. And God used them for his purpose, just as in today's Old Testament reading, God used the Persian leader Cyrus. God uses means. God used Cyrus. He used the Jewish leaders and the Roman government. And to forgive our sins, to give us the forgiveness of sins, he uses words, water, a pastor, bread, and wine. Jesus called the Pharisees' disciples and the Herodians to himself, but the gospel reading says they left him and went away. We who repent and believe come to him. We come to him in his words of the gospel, the power of God to salvation. We come to him in the water of the baptismal font. With water and the word, he there makes us his children, forgives sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation. We come to him in private confession and individual absolution, where we receive forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself. And we come to Jesus at this altar and its rail, where with bread and wine, he gives us his body and blood, and so also forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In these ways, God also renews in us the image that we lost. Through his means of grace, God renews in us the right disposition of intellect and will, knowledge of him, and a will to do only his will, and sensuous desires that are free from any ungodly inclination. So renewed, we, like our Savior before us, render to God the things that are God's, including rendering to our governing authorities taxes, revenue, respect, and honor. As the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther writes, we render these things regardless of the quality of the government and regardless of how intolerably it may tax us. Although Luther certainly says government has no right to overtax. Still, we surrender whatever the government asks except the gospel. For we must obey God rather than men. We can rebuke evil government, but we passively bear it and leave its punishment to God. In these ways, like the Thessalonians in today's epistle reading, we wait for Jesus to come and to deliver us from the wrath that is coming. As we have this morning considered today's gospel reading under the theme, "The Things That Are God's," we have realized that by nature we deserve wrath, but that the Lord has rendered to God his very life in order to save us from that coming wrath. We have realized that Jesus rendered to Caesar the things that were Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And so through Jesus, through his word and sacrament, he graciously gives to us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. We have realized that through faith, God renews his image in us and so brings about our rendering to him the things that are his. Here and now, people of good conscience may disagree on how we live as both citizens of the earthly government and citizens of the kingdom of heaven. As some are saying, Houston pastors should not turn over the very sermons they had preached publicly, and others disagree. But with daily repentance and faith, we live together in the forgiveness of sins until he comes to finally and completely deliver us. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.